إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers, inshallah, today we'll summarize the entire series on questions that we have to answer, so that we have everything together in our minds. I remind myself anew that it's a total of 7 or 8 questions. And the difference in number is the last question on the Day of Judgment, which has to do with earnings, whether you count it as 1 or 2 questions. 3 questions in the grave and 4 or 5 questions on the Day of Judgment. The first question on the grave is, Man Rabbuk, who was your Rabb? And the answer to the question will come from how we lived our life. The right answer to that question is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb. And that will happen only and only if we lived our life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest issue with that is with selective obedience. Obeying some things and not obeying some other things. Obeying what we like and leaving what we don't like. And that selective obedience is actually disobedience. Because when you select to obey something, you are automatically deselecting something else. And this is a big fitna, this is a big problem. Second question in the grave is, what was your deen? I remind myself and you that deen is not a madhab, deen is not a set of ibadat, deen is not aqidah by itself, deen is not amal by itself, deen is a complete way of life, which includes aqidah, which includes ibadat, Mu'amilat, Mu'ashirat, Akhlaq. All 5 aspects of deen. How, what did I believe? How did I worship? What were my dealings with people? What were my manners and akhlaq with people? And how did I, what was my society, my Mu'ashirat, my society inside my house and outside? What did I seek to do? All of this together is deen. And if I am to say that my deen is Islam, then I must have lived on this. If I did not live on this, then I cannot say this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this in the Quran, and He said, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully and completely. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Second question. Third question has to do with following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is the question, and we will be shown the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to show us, and the question will be asked, what do you say about this man? The right answer is that this man was my imam, this man was the Nabi, this is the man I followed, this is the man I obeyed, this is the man I imitated, I did his ittiba, I did his itaat. But all of this will be possible only if we actually did that. Otherwise, our face will give the lie to our words. If I was shaving my face every day and I died in that state, and then I say I did the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then my face will say that you were a liar, because your face is shaved and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face was not shaved. And that's only one example. I'm giving you one example for each of these, because these are the most common problems we do. The second big issue is trivializing some of the sunnah. Once again, like with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, selective obedience. So we trivialize some of the sunnah. Some things we say are not important. Other things are important. That's why in Hyderabad we have people who always mention the sunnah of Allah alam whether it's even a sunnah in the first place. But people mention the sunnah of eating sweets. But they don't worry about the sunnah of raising the trouser above the ankle. Or they don't worry about some others of the sunnahs. For example, keeping a beard. They don't worry about that. Eating sweet, yes, sunnah. And as I said, Allah knows best, because in the days when people had, they didn't even have one square meal a day where there was sweet, I don't know. But anyway, Allah knows best. So the point is, if you and I, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us and to protect us and enable us to give the right answers, if we are to answer this question in the right way, which is to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was my Nabi, was my Rasul, and I obeyed him and I followed him, then we have to actually be doing that. If we are not doing that, then that answer is not going to come. And obviously the result of giving the wrong answer is eternal fire. Then we go to the day of judgment. The first question is, what did you do with your life? And the answer is to say that I lived this life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously this can be done only if we actually lived our life like that. Right? Again, once again, as I remind myself and you, that nobody is perfect. And you might say, well, you know, I did my best, but I may have made some mistakes. Alhamdulillah, no problem with that. We make tawbah, we make a mistake, we make tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is always there for everybody. There is a difference between that and deliberately disobeying Allah. And there's a difference between these two things, right? There's a difference between that and deliberately disobeying Allah. Deliberately doing things which we know to be wrong. Now, that is not a sin anymore, that is not a mistake anymore, that is a crime. Because to do the same thing, as I've explained before, the same thing, if it is done deliberately, it becomes a crime, it becomes punishable. Whereas, when that thing was done by mistake, it is not punishable. Right? It's not punishable, it is forgivable. But if you do the same thing deliberately, take salah for example. If you forget to pray, right? You forgot. I mean, whatever it was, you got busy or something, and you forgot to pray, right? So what do? When you remember, you make khata, khalas. Matter is over, right? But if you deliberately choose to not to pray, if you say, no, I will not pray, then that is kufr. It's not only a mistake, it is something which is kufr. It is denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum. It is denial of Islam. So, something to do it deliberately is a major issue. That's why, in terms of how did we spend our life, it's very important for us to think about this and to eliminate all conscious disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that exists in our lives. And that is why I keep on saying, making all these points about not joining associations, not joining clubs and so on, where haram is done, about not going to places where haram is done, of not gambling and so on and so forth. Why? Because these are deliberate actions which you are doing. Nobody is forcing you to do it. Didn't happen accidentally. You paid the subscription, you paid the fees, you applied for the membership, you went and stood and in the interview, you got selected, right? All of this. So, there is no excuse. You can't say accidentally it happened. One day I suddenly woke up and I am a member of, Sikandarabad club or some other club. You can't say this. It didn't happen accidentally. You chose to do it. Therefore, choose to get out. Otherwise, serious trouble. Second question. How did you spend your youth? Once again, issue of what is it that we are doing in our youth. And as I explained, youth is not just a number. It's not to say that youth will end at 30 or youth will end at 40. Youth refers also to the ability to satisfy our desires. As long as Allah has given you strength, as long as Allah has given you the wherewithal, that youth continues. Right? And therefore, it's a good news because there is special benefit for doing some things in that period of youth, which is not there when you have grown old, right? And when the desire itself is gone, or the ability to fulfill the desire is gone. But there's special benefit. So even though you might say, well, you see, I'm no longer 18 or 17, doesn't matter. You are older, but still that desire is there, still that strength is there. By all means, ensure that we do what we should be doing, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us special reward for that, inshallah. And of course, if we don't do it, then there is trouble. Third question on the day of judgment has to do with knowledge. What did you learn? Allah will not even ask what you learned. What did you do with the knowledge? Meaning, did you practice it yourself and did you teach it to others? Once again, we remind ourselves, this does not refer to how much. Whatever we know, do we practice it ourselves? Today, people are very keen to teach others. That is nice, but how about practicing yourself? Right? How about practicing it yourself? So, very important for us to practice the knowledge. Somebody asked me, which of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I want to practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, which one is the most important sunnah? So, I said, how do I answer this question? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the entire life of his Nabi as the example, you want me to pick from that and tell you this is more important, that is less important? No. The whole life. The akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So, therefore, we must be very clear about that. Knowledge has to do with practicing it as well as with propagating it. And the last question or two questions has to do with earnings. Where did you earn and where did you spend? The earning has to be halal, the spending has to be halal. Haram earning, halal spending doesn't work, right? Somebody yesterday asked the question and said, but you see, after all, I am giving zakat and zakat is cleansing. See how the brain works. So, you can do haram business, as long as you are paying zakat, the haram business becomes halal. Huh? This is Islam, not the Islam that Rasulullah brought, maybe some other new Islam which somebody has invented. Zakat from haram earnings, there is no zakat. Haram earning is in the hellfire, right? There is no zakat to be paid from haram earning, because the earning itself is haram. Where is the question of paying zakat on it? So where is it? This is all from shaitan. This is the shaitan who is spoiling our brains. So be very clear about that. Don't play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Earning has to be halal. Wherever it comes from, the earning has to be halal. Please be very, very clear. May Allah protect us. People don't even tell the truth. People do not even say things clearly. They say things in a foggy and shady manner for their own reasons. Allah alam. One can guess at those reasons, but doesn't matter. The fact is that if something is haram, it is very important to say this clearly that it is haram. Because otherwise, people will fall into that trap and they continue in that wrong action. And they end up in those things. And there is today, there is certainly no shortage of examples of haram earning. There are lots and lots of examples. So let us be very clear in our minds and say, no, I will not earn haram. If there is anything haram in my earnings, get rid of it immediately, because we do not know when we will die. The same thing applies to the spending of it. Where is that money being spent? Is it being spent in halal places or in haram places? And once again, I don't want to go into all the list of haram places to spend, but you know this better than I do. Please remember that. Earning and spending. So, 7 questions or 8 questions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to answer all of these clearly and correctly. I want to end with another thing which somebody asked me yesterday. They said, how can we convince people who are continuously chasing the dunya, doing all kinds of wrong things and so on, that they should change? And I said, the best thing is to remind them that one day they will die. Simple as that, right? And somehow it looks like a stupid question. It really should be a stupid question. But somehow we seem to live our lives as if we believe that we will never die. Right? Now, nobody actually denies that. If you ask him directly to his face, do you think you will die? Nobody will say, no, I don't think I will die. They won't say that. But if you look at the life, the life is being lived as if there is no death. Death is only for somebody else. I remind myself and you that one day I will die and one day you will die. There is no doubt about this. And that day can be today. That day can be now. That day can be this month, this week, this year. So let us not fool ourselves. What is the best way to come on track is to remind yourself that I will die. So, go home and look in the mirror in your eyes, look into your own eyes and say, I will die now. Therefore, what should I do? And then do it. If you still want to go and do whatever haram you are doing, go ahead, do it. No problem. It's your life. It is your life. Right? So, be very, very clear in your minds. Do not fool yourself. If you fool yourself, then you have no one else to blame. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to live this life in such a way that it becomes a source of blessing and a source of rahmah for us in this dunya. Wal akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live this life in a way that is pleasing to Him, because that's the only one who is worth pleasing. Jalla jalaluhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.